Mr. Smith talked a little bit about all the news we get today. You know, it's mostly negative. In fact, one of the ministers that spoke over at Jekyll Island said, you know, my wife and I drove from Big Sandy to Jekyll Island. And so we listened to all this news. And he said, when we got there, we had to have rehab. But it is true. News today is so negative. You know, we're in serious and worsening times. We really do have wars, rumors of wars, terrorism like we haven't seen it all over the world. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, you know, the Islamic Brotherhood, all looking for their Islamic caliph they think will solve the problems, which really will bring more problems. It's the way the world thinks the solution to problems really causes more. Diseases, starvation is rampant in Africa with old eradicated diseases like tuberculosis, smallpox. They're back again. My son's a doctor. He went down there and he couldn't believe all these things we've gotten rid of. They're rampant in Africa. How about this deadly Ebola virus all over Africa and threatening the world? There's many new strains of virus and diseases that we're not used to. You know, people are. And I always think one of the things I look to, and my son, younger son's a doctor, so I get kind of tidbits, you know. People are eating all these exotic animals. Well, we're not supposed to eat them. And they get unusual strains of diseases from them. They really do. It's passing around. We have increased violence, shootings, murders. I mean, every time we turn around, somebody's going off and shooting somebody. I mean, it just seems like it's every few days. How about weather disasters that set records for 105-year and even 1,000-year catastrophes? Hurricanes, tornadoes, more prevalent in more places, fires, torrential rains, and flooding. On one hand, they have a drought, and then it rains and floods because it's so dry, you know. Earthquakes, volcanoes, you know, there's one in Hawaii right now. Unseasonal weather in many places, setting temperature records both high and low. Well, people are so hopeless as never before. You ever hear people? Like voting. What? It's hopeless. Why should I vote somebody? They put a guy in that's just worse than the one before, you know? I think drugs are prevalent, being legalized. Gambling. I remember Oklahoma used to be one of the two or three states that didn't have gambling. Then we had a governor get in there that made a deal with the Indians. Now only California has more gambling than Oklahoma. Oklahoma, a little old state, you know, a little population. So it just seems like people are, you know, are saying, what's the use of trying to change things? Nothing's going to change. People are powerless to correct things, and there's doom and gloom. How about the national debt? You ever think about it? $17 billion in climbing, or about $55,000 for each one of us, including our kids. Man, that's a lot to overcome, isn't it? That kind of hopeless? Hopeless is a fact of life in this world now. That's why so many seek suicide as a way of out in record numbers. How about someone like one of the greatest comedians ever, Robin Williams, took suicide because, man, he just couldn't handle all this. He's not the only one. It seems like the more famous you are, especially in Hollywood, the more you're going to do that. Elvis Presley, one of the greatest rock and rolls ever, died of barbiturates. Same with Michael Jackson, you know, Marilyn Monroe, Whitney Houston, some of the great Hollywood people just gave up on this society. Where's the leadership setting the right standard example? We don't have it. I can tell you about this group. You know, we got the NFL, the NBA, we got Hollywood. So many people setting bad examples, not good examples, negative examples. How about this one group? 36 have been arrested for spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested on fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 17 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 times. 3 have done time for assault. 71 couldn't get her credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are currently defendants in a lawsuit, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving. This was a 2013 report for 2012. You know who that is? Do you think it'd be a large? It's a small group of 535 people called our U.S. legislature. If you're going to trust leadership to solve your problems, it's a little hopeless, isn't it? Well, let's just see what hopeless says. Webster's Dictionary. It says, destitute of hope, having no expectation of good, despairing, giving no ground for hope, promising nothing desirable, desperate, certain to fail. Synonyms include such words as bleak, comfortless, discouraged, dismal, given up, impossible, spiritless, uncorrectable, useless, vain, worthless. Wow, it just kind of depresses you reading about it, doesn't it? One word I thought was really kind of interesting in the Bible perspective, it lists Laodicean as another principle is related to as hopelessness, Laodicean. So if you're Laodicean, you're kind of hopeless because you're really kind of going along with the flow and not really doing anything. But what I'm going to talk about today is just the opposite. We are to be different as God's people, as God's church. As Christians, God's people, as disciples of Christ, we are to be full of hope, a gift of God. We need to be the most hopeful people in the entire world. And that's one thing about coming back from the feast. That is a feast of hope. It's wonderful. All the holy days are hopeful. Give us hope. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, 1 to 7. Ephesians 2, talking about how we came out of a world and where to go and be different, to be a people of hope. Ephesians 2, 1 to 7. Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, of whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby nature children were wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us," and we go back to that word love that Mr. Smith was talking about. We have to have love to have fellowship to really, really do anything. So really, without love, we're just, beating our hands in the air. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because his great love with us, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It says, by grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ." It says, we were once that way, but we're to be different now. Verse 11 and 12 says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope and without God in the world." So he's called us out of that, to have hope, not be without hope, not without the strength and the power and the understanding, the hope that God gives us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." He says, hey, people in this world, when people die, they say they did, but they really don't have hope. We're not to be like that. He's saying, I'm going to tell you this knowledge so you have hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God who will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." So he says, hey, we need to have hope in Christ in this way of life, and what he's going to do when he comes back to give us eternal life. He didn't want Christians to be without that understanding of the truth and the mysteries of God and what is to happen through God's plan, and to have that hope that non-Christians do not have. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. He's talking about a oneness. He's talking about, again, Mr. Smith talked about a fellowship and being one with one another and doing and living the right way. And here Paul says, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father and all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So here it is, We are called in one hope for our calling through one Lord and Savior and one God the Father and one church. We are to be God's people and live by that hope. This is not a weak wish list. You know, like people say, well, that hope in God, this is a real thing. It is not the, well, I hope it rains tomorrow, or I hope to get the new job I have been seeking, or I hope we make it home safely. No, this is hope is a strong part of being a Christian, and is a much needed and required and much more than just a wish list. It is a concrete belief and trust in God that is required to give us belief and hold us firm in God's ways. It is an anchor to our soul. It's an anchor to our soul, as mentioned in the scriptures, which I will cover later. It is concrete, absolute, and part of it has God's Holy Spirit in it. God's Holy Spirit in us, then acting on it according by using it, praying, studying, growing in God's ways, and relationship with Him, His Son, Jesus Christ. It's one reason you hear from the pulpit and you read the Bible about praying and studying and meditating and fasting, because it gives you hope. It's one of the keys to getting hope, is to do those things. We'll see that as we go through the sermon. God proclaims that He cannot lie, and that His word is sure and cannot be broken. He calls us by His Spirit and opens up the truth to us, giving us great, enduring hope from the sure word of God and is proclaimed in the Holy Scriptures. Let's turn to a couple of scriptures to say that. Titus 1, verses 1 to 3. Titus 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So Paul is saying here, God, who cannot lie, who is all good and right, has promised us, has given us hope of eternal life. He's given us that opportunity and given us the knowledge of it. In Hebrews 6, verse 9 to 12, it says similar thing in a little different words. Hebrews 6, verse 9 to 12. Hebrews 6, verse 9, it says, But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yet things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, that you have ministered to saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, He said, imitate, not just Jesus Christ, but as Paul said, as I follow Christ, you follow me. Part of fellowship. Imitate people who are doing right things, who encourage you, who we talk about God's way. And you see, you pray for one another, and you do see healings. Or you see people get through an operation of something better. You know, we see these things. We see God working in people's lives. I've been around the church for 46 years, and people that I've known, there's a few people I've known for 46 years in the church. And I can see a tremendous difference between them and now. And I hope they see that in me. Because that's the way God works. Verse 17 says, For He testifies, you are a priest forever. Wait a minute. I got the wrong 17. It says, verse 17, it says, Thus God, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutable ability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I'm going to come back later to this anchor of the soul, because there's three different aspects of hope I want to go through. You know, it's part of the firm foundation, hope is, of the fruit of the Spirit is required for us to be stronger and lasting in following God and living His ways, laws and ways. And it's required, really, part of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'll give you one example. I'm going to go through all of them. How about love? If you don't have hope, how can you have love? You know, I think about Robin Williams, who died. If he had love for his family, or true love for his family and for people, would he have taken his life? Because he hurt his family a lot when he did that. I've thought about that. Would I have an operation or something? Should I just say, well, I'm going to trust in God if I get sick? Or should I have an operation because my family wants me around longer? And the ultimate is I got to trust God anyhow. You know, that's that love we've got to have. And we also have to have hope. Robin didn't have enough love to have enough hope to stay alive. It's part of the, it all ties together. You can go through all the fruits of the Spirit and find out that they all have a tie to hope. In fact, the scripture mentions several of them. As we go through the scriptures on hope, we should know how it directly related to the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit as a gift of God in us. There's three words used in the New Testament in the Greek for the English word hope. All three were used by Paul, and I'm going to cover those three because it's kind of important what they mean. The first word is elpis. You don't need to write these down, but the Greek word elpis, it means hope. It's used 49 times in the New Testament. It's used more than any other. In Strong's, it is a noun, so it's something, you know, it's a noun. So it's not an action thing, it's a noun. And it's called expectation of good. In Christian sense, a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. This form of hope, as all of them are, made possible by God's Holy Spirit in us. This one is the knowledge or understanding, belief that comes from God's inspiration, the opening of the mind through sermons, Bible study, and meditation on God's Word. That is one of the main reasons we need to study and meditate regularly and attend all services to learn from God and the knowledge of salvation, to have it in the forefront of our hearts and minds. And again, I'll mention the feasts and holy days all are a time of great hope for us. That's what God does for us. So this word's about knowledge, about study and knowledge and understanding and learning God's ways is what it's about. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians 13:13. He says, and now abide faith, hope, love, and these three. It says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Here we go back to that word love. But it ties in faith, hope, and love all together. You know, I heard a minister say one time that, you know, it's the tie, because without hope, it's hard to have faith. It's hard to have love. And he's true. Without hope, it's hard to have all the fruits of the Spirit like God wants us to have them. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 to 10, another aspect here, it talks about hope in being part of us, being in our mind and our body and our heart. A knowledge we have in us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 to 10. First Thessalonians 5, verse 5 says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of a darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. This kind of makes me think of the, you know, the 10 virgins, or 5 wise and 5 foolish. Some of them slept and got drunk, and others didn't. Others were watching and sober. It says verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did appoint us to wrath, but to obtain a salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. He talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And I looked up those words. The word breastplate is a Greek word thorax, or part of the body from the neck to the navel. In other words, the breastplate of faith and love, breastplate of faith and love is your, you know, your, what it's what makes up your body, with your organs and your heart. It's part of your being. And that word helmet, which is talks about hope, the helmet of the hope of salvation, is the word paracephalia. a metaphor meaning the protection of the soul, which consists in the hope of salvation. This hope of God directs us toward God and away from the ways of sin, of this world, and Satan. We are led and driven by our mind, led by God's Holy Spirit, to be our minds and hearts are open, and we receive that knowledge of God so we can live by His, so we know what He talks about, what He wants us to do, how we should be living, and how we should be doing all things. That's what that is. That's what that hope is. It's a knowledge and understanding of God's way of life and how to live it. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 8, so it's just a couple pages back. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in your prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord was sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." I've got a note in my Bible that says hope comes by the Holy Spirit, by knowledge, and is a part of patience, love, faith, and joy, as mentioned in these scriptures here. We are to be godly people, and we are to have hope as a real thing, as a real part of our being. That's given by God. Let's turn to Acts 24, verse 13 to 15. Again, this hope is just knowledge and the truth from God. It's like Paul said, so we'll understand the mysteries of God. So we'll understand God's ways. Acts 24, 13 to 15. Seems like I'm slow getting my scriptures today. Acts 24. Verse 13, it says, "Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me." In other words, people are accusing Paul of different things. And he says, "Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect." In other words, I've heard people call our church a sect. Paul had the same problem. He said, "The way," in other words, God's way, "which they call a sect." He says, "But this way, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." In other words, he believes this knowledge. He believes this Bible. "So I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." In other words, we're to live according to the way, according to the law and the prophets, through all the Holy Scriptures. And he says, "I have hope because I understand that and I know that and I believe that and I live it." Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So it shows you how important it is we study the Scriptures and learn and live by it. In verse 13 to 15, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also to admonish one another." He ties in the Holy Spirit, the understanding, and the knowledge of God, made possible by that power of the Holy Spirit. We're living according to the way, according to the law and prophets. We understand and learn by the power of the Holy Spirit through God's ministry and through His word, and have joy and peace. Again, he ties in hope with the fruits of the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 to 17. I got quite a few scriptures on it because they add a lot of meat and knowledge to this subject. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 to 17. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God says to hold fast to our calling, to that knowledge we've been given, to that way of life, through the power of his Holy Spirit and the teaching given us through the scriptures and his servants. That's what he's talking to us about here. Again, another reasons for, I know God tells us to come Sabbath holidays, but it's another reason why God wants us to come. Because we learn. We study at home daily. We come here and we learn from God. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 6. Second Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 6. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being for ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He's talking about we have that trust, we have that faith and belief through that Spirit from the living God and from that knowledge. And he goes on in verse 11 to 18, he says, For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. He's talking about the old covenant. The old ways were given as a physical laws for a physical nation, for physical blessings. But he says, but then we have the new covenant. He's going on. He says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. We have the new covenant, the knowledge of the new covenant, the knowledge of God's laws and his ways, and that Holy Spirit that makes it possible to live them in our hearts and minds and understand them and know them. He says, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Our minds are open, as he's saying, to understand this. That is the great hope we have. He says, but even to this day, when Moses read, a veil lays on her heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God's law is called the law of liberty because it frees us from sin. It frees us from the bondage of sin. It's not the opposite of what people think. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord. So God gives us this knowledge, this hope, the Holy Spirit, the new covenant. It's all tied together. Understanding of that gives us great hope in knowing what's going to happen. Knowing that we follow God's ways, we're going to be in his kingdom, and we're going to be guided and strengthened and led by him, protected by him, taken care of by him. I'll give you a couple of scriptures I don't cover because I did this in a sermon in Tulsa. You can read on your own. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5 and 7 to 25 talks about God's Holy Spirit as a power that opens our minds and gives us understanding and gives us the hope through the knowledge of an enduring word of God. And I'll mention a couple others. Ephesians 1, 17 to 20. God gives us hope through the Spirit of God that provides us wisdom of revelation of knowledge and enlightenment that we see. And Romans 5, 1 to 5. It says, we know that trials are for our good, to bring us to the knowledge and understanding of God's ways through the power of His Holy Spirit. So study that on your own, because there's so much in this about hope and about the knowledge of God and about His Holy Spirit and His way. That's just a very part of our being. It's a real part of our overcoming, part of our being a Christian. And I'll give you a few in the Old Testament. I don't want to go over them in this word that are similar. Proverbs 24:14. Here we see similar statements that just mentioned Romans 5. Knowledge of God and how He allows trials and tests that he must allow for our good, even though He does hate to afflict us, even for our own good. It is great hope to know and understand this. It says in there that God hates to afflict us, but He knows He has to for our good. Just like if we have children, we don't want to spank them, do we? We don't want to do that. I always had to kind of force myself to spank my children when they needed it, not all the time. And put them on probation or. So, you know, God's the same way. He has to do it for our own good. Gives us hope that He knows that, you know. Proverbs 10:28-32. Another scripture in the Old Testament that fits along right there. The righteous have hope and knowledge, wisdom and understanding of God's ways, and it provides a joy to us. And another in the Old, I'll give you one more. Psalm 71:1-8. The psalmist here is showing that the knowledge and understanding of God and His ways gives us great hope. It's a good study. I was really encouraged by this. I didn't realize the sermon, the study, it was going to be that inspirational to me and give me, you know, help me to understand hope and have more hope and realize what it is. The second word that's used in the New Testament and what Paul used is called the word epizo. It equals hope. It's used 19 times in the New Testament for a form of hope. 14 times as hope, 4 times as hoped, and 1 time as hoping. It is also used 12 times as the word trust. Now this is a verb, so it has some actions. And you know, hope does have some action because you live what you believe. You trust God. There's some action. I mean, if somebody wants you to work on the Sabbath day and you say no because God wants me to keep the Sabbath, that's a trust. You have to trust and have faith and hope in God that He's taking care of you. You have to have real hope, real faith, real trust. So it's all tied together. And that's an action. You have the knowledge. Now, this word for hope is action. It's a verb. In a religious sense, it means to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence, to hope, to hopefully trust in. This action ties in with faith and patience in that we are waiting positively in patient perseverance and endurance, looking forward to our salvation in the future, not to the physical and all the problems we have and that we are all around us. Let's turn to the scriptural examples here. Acts 26:6-7. So part of this hope is a patience. Patience is an action we do. We have to be patient. It's probably one of the things that humans have the least of is patience. And so God gives us that spirit and that power and wants us to learn patience. That's why He doesn't heal us immediately. That's why things aren't done immediately. Sometimes we have to wait. So we'll build some patience, trust, hope in God. Acts 26:6-7. Verse 6, it says, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promises made by God our fathers. To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Now, a couple of these are LPs, but the one that's LPs, though, is the one where it says, to this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. Now, that is a hope. That is an action that is patient and waiting. Growing now, but waiting for that eternal life that God's going to give us. So that's part of that hope. 1 Corinthians 13:7. This ties in hope in an action way. 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says, this is the love chapter again. 1 Corinthians 13:7 is talking about love, that it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. It ties in hope with love, with enduring, with believing, and bearing things. So, as an action, as part of the fruits of the Spirit. Hebrews 11:1 is a direct part of faith in God and Jesus Christ. It is a driver toward God for keeping out the ways of man and our own nature. Hebrews 11. There it is. Hebrews 11, verse 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's the same word here, that it is part of an action, part of waiting, part of believing God. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have this great hope that God gives us, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we not only learn it and know it, but now we have to live by it. That's what this word is talking about, living by that hope. Verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have hope, gives us strong faith, and that's what we believe in. That's how we live. Romans 8, verse 20 to 25 is another place where this word elpiso is used, this hope, this action, this waiting, this patience, this trusting God. Romans 8, 20 to 25. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption in the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, and you're talking about the first fruits of the Spirit, as you're talking about hope here, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for him with perseverance. You know, Peter said sometimes it's hard to understand Paul. Well, this is one of those, because the first couple are LPs. It talks about we were saved in this knowledge that is seen. Then he goes on to say, for why does one still hope for what he sees? And he talks about, do we hope in physical things? And the last one, though, in verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for him with perseverance. And there's, we hope for the knowledge God's given us, for that Holy Spirit, for the things we don't see. Faith is things hope for. So he's saying, it's the things we don't see, even though healings, changes in our life, are part of it. It's the knowledge, the understanding, putting in practice and living it. Just that's the hope. That's what he's talking about here, and that's what is so great that God gives us. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19 to 23. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the resurrection chapter. This is great hope that we can see what the future is. That we're all going to be kings and priests. Not that we'll be kings and priests, but we'll be teachers, that we'll be part of the kingdom of God, that we can help with Jesus, help Jesus Christ, and help God the Father, and help for all mankind, be able to serve and give and show the truth and have love and kindness. We have a hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes it possible to do the same as the first fruit of God. We need to be steadfast and movable from God's ways in the way we live. And that's what this is talking about here. Let's go to verse 19 in 1 Corinthians 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, if we have just trust and nothing else. But if in this life only we have hope, he said, if we have that, we are most men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of death. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits after those who are hot, Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. In other words, we have that hope through that resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it is a real thing and that we can count on it. through that path and through growing and overcoming and living that way, having the patience to live that way and to follow that way, we can have eternal life. I'll give you a couple for this word, this action word of hope, this faith, patience. I'll give you a couple from the Old Testament you can study on your own. Hope in the Old Testament, the form of the Hebrew word yakai. It's a verb, is equivalent to pizo in the Greek, and it means to wait and expect a result. It means to wait and expect a result. Psalms 31, 21 to 24, and 10 to 22. And in Psalms, one night, it's in this one, Psalms 31, 21 to 24, and 10 to 22, God is the one we turn to in all things, the one we trust in and make supplications to, expecting an answer by the hope within us as God molds us and shapes us. In another one, Psalms 119, I love Psalms 119 because it so extols God's laws and how good they are and wonderful they are. Psalms 119, verse 113 to 120, 113 to 120, and 145 to 147. Psalms 119 is a psalm about connecting to God through following and living His commandments. In other words, it's an action that we follow and live His commandments. In our hearts and minds, not just physically, but like Jesus Christ showed us in the New Covenant, where you don't just do wrong physically, but do not do it in your minds either. In other words, you don't not just kill someone, but you don't hate them either. You love your enemies. You know, that's what this is about. That's what this hope is about. That's what this life is about that God gives us. You know, I mentioned earlier trust. This same word is used for trust several times. A couple of those are, if you want to look them up, 1 Timothy 4:10 and 5:5 is this word. The same word is used as trust to show how close this meaning is that hope is part of a trust in God. And 2 Corinthians 1:8-12, just some scriptures you can look up on your own about how closely this trust, this hope is. The last word for Greek, for the Greek word used in the New Testament and used by Paul, Paul's the only one used this. We've already read it, but I'm going to it again, is the word echo, and it equals hope. It's used only one time in the New Testament. It is a verb, is to have or to hold, to have possession of the mind, to hold fast, to keep. It is a part of our emotion, our makeup, our character. We live by it and respond because of this hope. It is an anchor to our soul and to our way of life. In other words, this is putting together the knowledge and the action. We have the knowledge. We learn that knowledge and we build it. And we put it into action. And it becomes an anchor to our soul. We read that before. Let's go to it in Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 20. Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 20. Hebrews 6:17, it says, thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. That's the hope, elpizo. Verse 19 is the hope that we're talking about here, that hope that ties it all together, that we understand and learn and grow and have the knowledge, that we live it and put it into action, and that we have faith and patience and trust in God. And verse 19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence and behind the veil, where the forerunners entered for us, even Jesus Christ, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So this hope is based on sums up the LPs and LPs as it shows to be a part of our learning and knowledge made possible by God's Holy Spirit, but also a part of our heart and mind, our character, and the way we live. Is anchor that we might live by and that we know God by. And, you know, if you're going to follow God's ways and do His ways, you have hope. You have great hope that God is doing these things that He gives you. You wouldn't do it without it. I mean, you look at people through the Bible, they had great hope. I mean, Noah had to have great hope in God to do what he did. Moses to lead the children of Israel. Daniel, the thing he did to live as a like he did. I think Daniel's one of the best examples of Christian life there is in the Bible. You look and read it sometimes. See how he handled things. How he prayed. He got other people to pray. He didn't. He was. He didn't assume things. And he tried to work things out. Yet, in the bottom line, he always trusted God. You can go through, look, Peter and Paul, a lot of them, you know. They had that hope. They had that trust. Our hope is based on God's word on the life. Jesus Christ lived is the way of God, the life we need to emulate and live. I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'm not going to go to them. I had not planned to. I was going to read them. That's what I've done before. Of promises and the great hope in them. In John 10, it says, Jesus Christ is a good shepherd who knows and takes care of his sheep, his followers. They know him and follow him as well. He keeps us and will give us eternal life. I paraphrase this one in John 10. Matthew 11, 1-5, again, paraphrase. Jesus inspired John and his disciples by pointing out the miracles they performed and the gospel message they taught people to encourage them and to give them more hope instead of just saying he was the Christ. You remember when John the Baptist sent a note to one of his servants? He said, go ask if he is the Christ. And you were talking about Jesus Christ. Go ask him if he is the Christ. But instead of just saying he was a Christ, he said, tell him about the things I do. Tell him about the miracles. Tell him about the preaching. Tell him about all these things. In other words, he wanted to encourage John, not just say, well, I'm the Christ. Because John knew what the Christ should do. And that's why Christ does a lot. He gave us a lot of examples to encourage us through the Bible. Story of Lazarus is one of those. It's a story of hope. You want to read story? It's a story of hope. Shows that he has the power to forgive and to resurrect through God the Father. I'll read a couple more here. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. In verse 5, Paul speaking about Jesus Christ, quoting him as saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In verse 6, it says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Romans 8, 38 to 39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. These are real hopeful, powerful words. I'm reading to show you some of the things that we get from this hope that we can read and study and that God gives us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Promising words, hope-filled. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It says he will complete it. We can't do it on our own. We absolutely can't. I wouldn't even know what to do. Wouldn't. God does. We have to trust him. God gives us that encouragement and hope. In 2 Timothy, there's more. This is one more I just come up with. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. There's more. The Bible is full of hope. That's why we want to read it and study it and live it. It's full of it. It's God's way of life. There is no other way that really counts. This is it. God gives us hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his word, through living our lives his way, and building that trust, that faith, that love, that joy, that patience, that all become a part of us, greatly driven by the hope in us as an anchor to our soul, to our way of life. God gives us this all the time, but we especially get a boost during the feast seasons. We get a great boost, and that's why God times them just right. It's a great time of hope and encouragement that God gives us during these feast seasons, but he does it all the time through his word. It is a time to learn. It's always time. The feast season was time to learn to fear God more, but all the times are. To truly honor and respect God the Father and Jesus Christ, to build our confidence, our faith, our strength, and commitment to God in our lives, to have that hope in us as an anchor to our way of life. We will help us or learn from our studies and our, following God's way of life and coming to church and going to holy days with increased knowledge of God and his ways. We will help peace or build patience and faith by our experiences living God's way, living God's way and experience. And we will echo or build our hope as an anchor to our soul, to our way of life, to make it a very part of our character we live by. Let's go forward in our Christian journey with great hope and that and live our lives as a Christian and do all these things that will show us the hope of God for us and for all mankind into being encouraged, inspired, and rejuvenated by it, to become a better Christian, to have a closer relationship with God, with each other, and love all people, desiring them to have what we have. What a wonderful blessing and gift to know and understand God's ways and to follow them and have that great hope.